to the book of Romans and the 10th chapter, Romans chapter 10. And I want to read a few verses from Romans 10, and then I'll ask you to turn to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. In Romans chapter 10, just the first few verses, hear God's word. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end or the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But, or and, a better translation here would be and Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. And I'll stop there in Romans 10 and ask you now to turn back to Leviticus. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right? Sometimes you have to do this because not everyone is familiar with the Bible in our society today. And that really is true. So Leviticus chapter 18, and you will notice that the Apostle Paul quotes from this portion in Romans chapter 10. And that's one of the things that we will be getting to in the lesson this morning. Leviticus chapter 10. Here again, the word of God. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. And it is verse 5 in Leviticus 18 that Paul refers to in the portion that we just read from Romans chapter 10. And I'll be pointing that out to you as we move along here. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are pleased to meet with us as your people and to dwell among us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you'd be pleased to speak to us in and through your word as we look into it and ply its pages this morning. Change us more and more into your image and likeness, and make us followers of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and King. We pray in his name. Amen. When I was a cadet at the military academy at West Point, I learned very quickly that it was a different kind of life you lived on that little military reservation. There was a particular discipline that each of us had to learn if we were going to survive in that environment, and we had to learn it quickly. Let me give you an example of it. All of the cadets, when they go into the dining hall, march into that dining hall, and they sit at tables, 10 at a table. And the seniors or the first classmen sit at the head of the table, and the plebes, the newcomers, sit at the foot of the table. And the plebes at the foot of the table serve the upperclassmen. Sir, how many of you would like coffee? And you pour the coffee. And the most dread experience was dessert time. Because the man at the end of the table would say, in response to the first classman sitting at the head of the table, he would ask, "What's for dessert, mister?" And the plebe at the foot of the table would pipe off and say, "Sir, there is apple pie for dessert. How many of you would like apple pie?" And you would pray that it would be an even number. Because if you had to cut that pie into 7 equal pieces, it would be a disaster in the making. And it often was. It was a particular environment in which we had to learn to live quickly. And it's very interesting, isn't it? Then when we come into the kingdom of God, it's a new environment in which we must learn to live. And God has been pleased through Jesus Christ to bring each of us by faith in Him into a new environment in which we are privileged to live. You and me. And part of what we are about is learning to live in that new environment. At the military academy, it was often the case where young men thought by doing their duty, they would rack up points with the upperclassmen. And it wasn't so. You don't get a pat on the back for doing your duty. It's what you're supposed to do. And sometimes, in God's kingdom, people get the idea that we begin to rack up points with God by doing our duty. And we turn the grace of God into legalism. And we begin to think that we're going to earn a place with God. And this is what our text is about this morning. We don't earn a place with God. And if you have the outline there, at the head of the outline, I've got this little statement. God makes loving covenant life and holiness possible. And you could add these two little words for you. God makes holy covenant life and holiness possible for you. Don't turn His grace into legalism. Don't do it. Live in the atmosphere of grace and love God. Let's look at our text and see how this is brought out. Leviticus 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God." Isn't it amazing? God redeems you and me and forms us into what? A holy people, a covenant people, a loving people. And that's what this verse is about. It's about this because the words, I am the Lord your God, point the children of Israel to that mountain under which they are now residing. Leviticus is a book that was written under that mountain. And they are reminded of God speaking in thunder and lightning on that mountain. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's what those words remind the people of. They remind the people that they're a redeemed people, that they're a saved people, that God in His mercy and grace brought them out of bondage. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. The basic Christian confession is what? Jesus is Lord. I am the Lord your God, Jesus says. I am the one who brought you out of bondage. I am that one, says Jesus. And we look to Jesus and we bow before Him and we worship Him as none other than the living God. Is that not correct? That is what we do. And so these words in verses 1 and 2 point us to Jesus. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. And when He saves us, He brings us into a community. And He teaches us to worship Him. I think that's tremendous. I really do. This is exactly what happened to the people of Israel. The people of Israel were delivered from bondage. They were brought to Mount Sinai. God effected a relationship with them, a covenant with them, and then He taught them to worship Him. That's what the whole book of Exodus is about. And Leviticus just continues that, teaching the people their worship. It's a tremendous construction. And that's exactly what happens to us. God redeems us through Jesus Christ. He brings us to Himself and makes a covenant with us. And when we take communion together, we realize that this is the case, do we not? This cup is the blood of the new covenant. That's what Jesus says. We're brought into a covenant community with Him and we're taught to worship Him. We're brought into a new sphere of existence. You see, this is what's happening. And this, as a holy covenant community, as I have it in the outline, as a holy covenant community, God calls you not to yearn for Egypt, to look back to Egypt, and not to look to Canaan, not to look out to the things that are out there, but to look to Him. That's what God is calling us to. So it's very interesting. Look at verse 3 in Leviticus 18. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall not follow their ways. You shall not follow their laws. In Egypt, Pharaoh was a god. That was part of the rule. That was part of the law. That was part of the statutes. Pharaoh was a god. He wasn't the god. He was a god. And the people were to respond to him and follow him and obey him as a god. In Canaan, one of the many gods was Baal. And there were many Baals. Some of you remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Baal was a very severe god. And he was a god who involved the people in prostitution and in sexual sins and deviancy. It was an awful thing. And Baal also involved the people in child sacrifice. Now I want you to think about these things for a moment. Right now, the NBA championships are going on, if that's what you want to call them. They're not much as far as basketball games are concerned. But it's very interesting that names like Kidd and Robinson are deified by the media. And when you look at the advertisements, these men are bigger than life. How can that be? Everybody looks up to them. Well, some of them are 7 feet tall, so you have to look up to them. But that doesn't mean they're gods. They're idols. And we use this term idol so freely and easily. The teen idol. Someone to be worshipped. And we deify people on a regular basis and follow them and worship them. And sexual sins are rampant in our culture. All you have to do is turn on the TV and there are sexual innuendos by the second almost. And in the Congress of the United States today, there are those who are fighting a law which would prohibit partial birth abortion. They want this sacrifice of babies to continue. So we're not much different than that from which the children of Israel was delivered. And we're not to look to those things. We're to look to God. Because we are to be a different people. We are to be a holy people. We are to be a people for God's own possession. Look at Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 4. Say, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So rather than following the statutes of Egypt or looking and longing for the statutes of Canaan, which many people do today, we are to follow the statutes and the ordinances of God. See, we're to be a holy, separate community, separate from the world. That's part of what we're to be. Now think about this for a moment. What are God's statutes and judgments? Well, let's start at the top of the list. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. There's a biggie. You're not to worship idols. That's the second one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not go around and saying, Oh God, Oh Lord, because He's holy and we are to be holy. Remember the Sabbath day. There is a day for worship. And that's why you're here, isn't it? There is a day for worship. It's not Wednesday that's the special day for people to gather for worship. You can gather on Wednesday. That's okay. You can have your Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm not objecting to that. But there is a day that God has ordained that is a special day for worship. And that's one reason we gather on the first day of the week. Honor your father and your mother. I noticed on the back of your folder this morning that commandment. There is a design that God has established in society and in culture. And families are important, and there's a tremendous breakdown in the family today. You shall not murder. I don't even want to listen to the local news. Because inevitably, you turn on the local news and it's what? Somebody shooting someone else. You shall not commit adultery. It's a way of life. Faithfulness in marriage. This couple here entering into holy matrimony. Praise God, there are families that testify in their commitment to one another concerning the sacredness of marriage. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And that includes paper clips and notepads and sticky notes and, you know, all those little things that you bring home from the office that do not belong to you. May I remind you that this is the case. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And that means, let me give you a little example of how this takes place. The phone rings. Honey, tell them I'm not home. Oops. It all begins with the little things, folks. The little things in being a holy people before God. You shall not covet. You shall not have lust in your heart. And you know what the opposite of that is? Do you not? Love and contentment. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can we just sing that? You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the beginning of the statutes of God. And fortunately, the statutes of God also include the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. And all of those Old Testament sacrifices were sacrifices which the people could go, in which the people could go and seek the forgiveness of God where they failed to live up to the covenant standards which God had set before them. And so it is for you and me. All those Old Testament sacrifices pointed forward to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. And those Old Testament sacrifices of the Lamb pointed to Jesus Christ as the one who went to Calvary's cross and died and paid the penalty due to you and me for the sins we committed, for the sins where we did not live up to the covenant standards that God had set for us. And Christ paid the penalty for those sins. Thank you, Lord, that that's the case. Jesus Christ did that. And so there's a standard and there's a sacrifice. And John says, I write to you that you should not sin. But if you sin, remember this, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one who lived a perfect life and died for the likes of us. For the likes of us. For you. And me. And so we are to perform the statutes and judgments. We are to live in the sphere of redemption in accordance with God's regulations, God's guidelines, which are in this book. And when we do not meet those standards, we can understand that Jesus Christ met those standards on our behalf. And when we fail, we can understand that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins. We don't have to make points with God. Jesus Christ has made all the points necessary. And we have the opportunity then to live for Him. You know, that's a nice thing. Amen? That's a very nice thing. Let's look at our text again. Verse 5. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. Now you see, we're talking about this sphere of redemption. We're talking about this new life. And God is pleased to give us His law. And He's pleased to give us guidelines by which we can live. And that's what verse 5 is talking about. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man will live if he does them. By what standard do you live? See, this is the idea. I mean, that really is the idea here. By what standard are you going to live? And as I say in the outline, the sphere of God's statutes and judgments is the realm of grace and love and freedom. It is the redeemed life. That's what's so amazing to me. It really is. Now, let me try and put it this way. God gave us, we just went through the Ten Commandments briefly. God gave us, graciously I may add, gave us the Ten Commandments so that we would have a way of showing Him that we love Him. So that we would have a way to show the world that we love Him. So that we would have a way to show the world that love is the essence of it all. God graciously gave us these commandments. What did Jesus say? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that you keep my commandments. It's not a legalism, but it's a gracious way God has given to us so that we can show Him that we love Him. Do you get that? Do you understand that? I think that's so important for us to understand. You see, that's the genius that God has in giving us all that He gives us in His Word. So if we don't know what to do, it's Father's Day, right? So I got a great Father's Day card. Where is it? I've got it. It says, the big smiley sunshine face there, says, to Dad, who never stopped looking out for his daughter. And you know what it says on the inside? From a daughter who never stopped looking up to her dad. And I wept. But you see, one reason there are rules and regulations in a family is so the children can show their parents how much they love them. And so parents can show their children how much they love them. And when there's a mutual respect and bond in the family, what do the children do? They do all that they can to love their parents by following what they have to say. Isn't that the case? And isn't that the case in the greater family of God? You see, one reason God is pleased to give us these rules, these guidelines, is that so we'll be able to show Him how much we love Him. And when we don't have other gods, what does that show God? We love Him. And when we don't erect idols in our lives, what does that show God? We love Him. and when we don't slander Him by using His name in a profane way, what does that show God? We love Him. See, that's what it's about. And that's what we need in our lives today. And that, friends, brings freedom. That is real freedom. And it's very easy for us to pervert this. Please turn now, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And listen to what Paul says. Romans 10:1 and following. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, that is for Israel, is for their salvation. What does God want? Or Paul want? Paul wants to see them saved. That's what he wants. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God. They have a zeal for God, and they pursue God, but not in accordance with knowledge. They don't do it correctly. They don't do it properly. Verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. See, God has righteousness. And there's a righteous standard. And thank God that Jesus Christ came into the world and lived up to that righteous standard. He did that which no one else could do. And when we trust in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is given to us as a free gift. We have beautiful and holy robes, and we can stand before the King and enter into His presence. What a blessing that is. For not knowing about God's righteousness, God's way to righteousness, and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the goal, or the end, the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The Old Testament law points to Christ. And so you have to trust in Christ. That's what it's about. And when you trust in Christ, you receive the gift of God's righteousness. That's the proper way to righteousness. And that's what Paul is pointing out here. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. And the problem is that the Jews perverted that. They perverted that, and they said, we're going to make points with God, and we're going to establish our own righteousness. Let me tell you, folks, it's very easy for us to do this. It's very easy for you to do it, and it's very easy for me to do it. Let me just give you one quick example. I attend church and Sunday school every week, and I have the awards to prove it. And God is going to be good to me, because I went to church and Sunday school all the time. Careful, right? Careful. Do not rest upon your own works of righteousness, but upon Jesus Christ. And do not turn the grace of God into legalism. It's deadly. It is deadly. And that's what we're talking about. And so I come to this point then in the outline. You can turn back if you want to Leviticus 18. You can turn back there And in the outline, I've got as the final point, God forbid that you should do the same. That is, turn the grace of God into legalism. Do not do this. Friends, do you realize the opportunity that you have to live lovingly before God? It is the greatest blessing and the greatest opportunity God gives to anyone to live before Him, and He gives us guidelines to do so. And when we understand those guidelines are given to us so that we can show Him that we love Him, they're not given to us so that we can pretend to rack up points with God, which we will never do. He has put us in a new sphere. And He has caused us by His grace to be born again by His Holy Spirit. And He's given us His Word as a means by which we can walk before Him and love Him and be a holy people. This is what God wants. And so again, my simple plea is, understand the Word of God in this context and live for Christ. And don't pretend to rack up points with God. You cannot. Jesus Christ already has on your behalf. Now, you have the privilege of living freely, lovingly, graciously before Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these folks. Thank You for Your love poured out in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to them. Thank You for Your Word, which You also give to us. Thank You that You do indeed make it possible for us to live in a covenant, loving, holy life before You. Thank You that this is the case. May we bask in the sunshine of Your grace and live as Your children in this world. Bless us to this end and grant that we would never turn Your grace ever so slightly into legalism. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.